Chapter 3.
Oh my God, did you see what he did to Steve? He got skills, mad crazy skills.
Who was that?
Lionel ignored the talk fading in the distance as he quickly walked away from Blueford High with Dontrell at his side. His lip was sore, and the metallic taste of blood lingered on his tongue.
Man, I told you not to play against him, Dontrell said as they neared Superfoods, the grocery store just down the block from school.
But I gotta say, that move you put on him was the bomb. The whole school gonna be talking about that on Monday.
Yeah, and they'll be talking about how he clocked me, too, Lionel said bitterly.
Nah, if you ask me, you won that one. Here, I gotta go, Dontrell said, handing Lionel his English book and slapping his hand. My mom's picking up Chinese food tonight, and I'm starving. Later.
Lionel watched as Dontrell cut across the wide Superfoods parking lot and headed to Union Street, where he lived with his parents and little brothers. He imagined Dontrell walking in to find his family sitting at their wobbly kitchen table, cluttered with containers of sweet and sour chicken and pork fried rice, his favorites. He could almost hear them talking excitedly about the things that happened to them this week. Dontrell would cackle out loud at something funny, spitting his food just the way he did at lunch. A knot of jealousy tightened in Lionel's chest. He wished Mom was home waiting for him to come in so they could eat a big dinner together. But those days were long gone. He remembered the Saturday morning in July when he learned that Mom's deployment had been extended. He'd been secretly listening to his parents' weekly talk on the phone when his father cried out from the bedroom.
What? A year, baby? They gonna keep you for another year?
Dad moaned, and then his voice cracked and broke up, a heavy, painful sound Lionel wished he'd never heard.
How am I supposed to take care of everything without you? He asked over and over again.
Lionel felt sick. He pretended to be asleep and never told his father that he'd heard everything. Later that day, he sat stone-faced when Dad gave him and his sister the news. Kendra wept quietly, but Lionel just stared at the floor, shrugging off his father when he went to hug him. He spent that afternoon on the PAL court, taking shots and playing anyone who would step on the court with him. Officer Hyden seemed to know he was upset and let him stay late that night without asking questions.
I'm glad you're here and not somewhere else right now, Lionel, he'd said, watching him curiously. Better to use that anger on the court than on the street.
Lionel ran for an hour up and down the bleachers, hoping to strengthen his legs to improve his vertical jump. Afterward, he tried over and over again to dunk the ball, but he just couldn't get high enough. The ball always clanked awkwardly against the rim and bounced back into the court, no matter how hard he tried. That night, Lionel sat alone in his dark bedroom, his legs shaky, his body sore from hours on the court. But the pain was nothing compared to the emptiness he felt inside at Mom's absence, an ache that throbbed again as he watched Dontrell rush off to be with his family.
You don't know how good you got it, Trell,
Lionel mumbled under his breath, heading up Cypress Street to his house. Around him, traffic cruised noisily up and down the block. Some cars sped by, leaving a trail of smoky exhaust. Others moved slowly, blasting music that rumbled the warm afternoon air with heavy bass that made Lionel's insides tremble. Two doors from his house, Miss Walker swept her small front porch the same way she did every day before Lionel could even dribble a basketball. On Sundays, when Lionel was a little boy, she and Mom would often sit on the stoop together after church and watch him run and play on the sidewalk, especially right after Kendra was born. Sometimes Mom would buy ice pops, and they'd all sit on the stoop and eat them together until their fingers got sticky and their tongues turned colors. Mom would tease Lionel because he was always the first to finish.
Where'd that popsicle go?
She'd say, pointing to his stomach and tickling him until he could barely breathe. Back then, Ms. Walker's voice was still strong, and she would use it to read books to Kendra or scold Lionel when he ran too close to the street. Once she'd even smashed her broom against the snout of an angry dog that chased Lionel right up to her porch.
Old Miss Walker is tougher than any dog, that's for sure, Dad joked at the time.
Lionel had laughed at his father's words. But when Lionel was in seventh grade, Miss Walker's grandson, Russell, was gunned down walking home from school just a few blocks away. Even though Russell was 2 years older, Lionel knew him well and had nightmares for weeks after the shooting. He could still remember staying up with Dad the night Russell died and hearing Ms. Walker wailing next door.
"My baby's gone," she cried over and over again. "They took my baby."
Miss Walker was never the same after that. Her smile was gone forever that day. Her once friendly eyes became stormy and impatient. Even the jerky way her broom scratched and clawed the cement steps seemed raw and bitter somehow. Lionel never knew what to say to her anymore. At times, it almost seemed she was resentful when she saw him walking by. Most days, he hoped to avoid her, but he couldn't do that now.
"Hi, Miss Walker," he said weakly, eyeing his house just a few feet away. She stopped sweeping and glared at him as if he'd just done something wrong.
"Why is your lip so swollen?"
"I got hit at school playing basketball." "No big deal," he said, wishing she'd stop staring at him. Miss Walker shook her head disapprovingly.
"Your mama coming home anytime soon?"
she asked with an edge to her voice.
"I think you and your dad could use her."
"Nah," Lionel replied, realizing that she probably didn't know Mom's tour had been extended.
"Not for another year," he said.
"Another year?"
Miss Walker huffed. She seemed outraged, as if what Lionel said was his fault.
"That don't make any kind of sense. We got so much shooting out here right now, they should be sending some troops into this neighborhood."
Lionel nodded. He agreed with Miss Walker, but he was hungry, and his face hurt. All he wanted to do was go home, not sit and listen to her complain about something he couldn't control. But after everything she'd been through, he couldn't just walk away. That wouldn't be right.
"What you got there?"
she asked, pointing at the English book in Lionel's hand. He could see her craning her neck to read the cover. Lionel sighed. "Just some homework for English class." Miss Walker's eyes widened.
"And you brought it home? Lionel, I've watched you for years and never seen you bring a book home from school. You in trouble or something?"
"No," Lionel blurted, cringing inside. If he could just get to his front door, he could escape Miss Walker's nosy questions.
"I just gotta study some poem about dreams or something by this guy Langdon Hughes."
"You mean Langston Hughes?"
Miss Walker's voice rose as if he'd told her something important. She leaned her broom against the side of her house and turned to him.
"Is the poem Harlem?"
Lionel nodded impatiently.
Yeah, that's it. Anyway, what happens to a dream deferred?"
Miss Walker interrupted, closing her eyes for a second as if she was recalling a distant memory.
"Huh?"
Lionel asked, unsure how to respond. She took a deep breath and spoke again, her voice suddenly powerful, her words rhyming like a strange rap or chant.
"What happens to a dream deferred? Does it dry up like a raisin in the sun? Or fester like a sore and then run? Does it stink like rotten meat? Or crust and sugar over like a syrupy sweet? Maybe it just sags like a heavy load. Or does it explode?"
She paused several seconds then, and Lionel didn't know what to say. Maybe after everything that happened, he figured, she was starting to go a little crazy. Maybe the long nights alone in her house had gotten to her.
"I taught that poem for years, Lionel. I was a teacher, you know, long before your time," she explained. "Even taught it to Russell, God rest his soul."
Her voice wavered then, and she turned away quickly. Lionel hadn't heard her mention his name in months, and in that same instant, he realized she'd just recited the poem Mrs. Henley asked him to read. The odd rhyme that rolled off her lips was the same one he'd have to say on Monday. Miss Walker took her glasses off and rubbed her eyes. He could see she was struggling with memories of her grandson. For several long seconds, they were both quiet. Far off, a siren wailed into the afternoon sky.
"I'm sorry, Miss Walker," he said finally. It was all he could think of to comfort her.
Miss Walker grabbed her broom and began sweeping again, more forcefully than before.
"You better get home. Go on, Lionel. It's almost supper time."
Lionel nodded and left her on the porch in a swirling cloud of memories and dust.
Inside the cluttered living room, Lionel found Aunt Mimi sitting on their old lumpy couch holding Sahara, who cried loudly, tears streaming from her dark brown eyes.
"What's wrong with her?" Lionel asked.
Plastic baby toys littered the floor, and the TV was turned up loudly, showing a cartoon family singing nursery rhymes. The music made Lionel's head pound.
"She's teething," Aunt Mimi said wearily. "Been like this all day."
On weekends, she worked at Essentials, a salon where she cut women's hair and did their nails. During the week, she stayed home, taking care of Sahara and helping out around the house while his father was on the road driving an 18-wheeler truck for Allied Freight. Most weeks, he was gone for 4 or 5 days at a time, hauling loads hundreds of miles away. Sahara whined and shoved a plastic doll in her mouth. Saliva spilled down her chin onto Aunt Mimi's lap.
"Oh, come on, Sahara, that's nasty," Lionel complained.
"If I don't get to the store and get her some medicine, ain't none of us gonna sleep tonight," Aunt Mimi said, grabbing her purse.
"I might as well do the grocery shopping while I'm at it. You think you can handle her for a while so I can go?"
After the day he had, the last thing Lionel wanted to do on a Friday night was babysit his cranky niece.
"Where is everyone?" Lionel asked. "Can't Kendra do it?"
"Kendra's going to the movies with friends tonight, remember? And your dad called to say he's going to be late," Aunt Mimi explained. It was the third Friday in a row his father wasn't home on time.
"What about dinner?" Lionel protested, thinking of Dontrell again. "I'm starving."
"There's that chicken I made the other night. Just heat it up," she said, moving toward the door.
"So you two going to be all right?"
Lionel rolled his eyes. He knew there was no getting out of babysitting, and there would be no family dinner either. Just another night of leftovers while Dad was away again. He wanted to complain, but what could he say?
"Yeah," he grumbled, grabbing the remote and flipping the TV to the sports channel.
Sahara stood in front of him and immediately started to cry.
"Thanks, Lionel,"
Aunt Mimi said, studying his face for a second as she stood at the doorway.
"What happened to your lip?"
"Nothing. I just bumped it on the court, that's all." Sahara put both her hands in her mouth and flung a large gob of drool onto his shirt.
"Girl, that's gross,"
Lionel said as Aunt Mimi left, locking the door behind her. Later that night, after changing 2 diapers, putting Sahara to bed, and eating a plate of dry leftovers in front of the TV, Lionel nodded off, his mind drifting to the court. In his sleep, he soared high with the basketball, over their noisy, cluttered house, over Bluford High School and Mrs. Henley's questions, over the city with its dangerous blocks and crowded cemeteries filled with young people like Russell, over the cold ocean that kept him from his mother for too long. Boom! The ball slammed through the iron hoop, a perfect dream interrupted hours later when his father came home and gently led Lionel down the hall to bed.